they're taking what you're saying to them, and they're hoping that you are what you talk. Let's be about everything we drop, because we're going to get tested on it. If the people on the street don't test us on it, God's going to test us on it.
Kill the Mockingbird, Truth to Report, with Sean Chris and Sebastian Farr.
Kick his ass, C-Bass.
Wake up!
Yo, what is up, y'all? Welcome to another motherfucking episode of Kill the Mockingbird Truth Report. I'm your host, Sean Chris, with my man, Sebastian Seabass Farr. What's good with y'all? Happy New Year's. Hope you had a great Christmas and an awesome New Year's.
Happy New Year's, everybody. Hopefully, 2021 will be a little bit less of a shit show than last year, but we'll see. Probably be more of one, honestly.
Yeah, it's going to be more fun, though. I call it the year of freedom.
It'll be more exciting, probably.
Yeah, and a lot more people are going to be like, I ain't doing that shit. Like, I went to a record store today, and I didn't have to wear a mask. A couple people were, nobody really cared, though. No one was really bugging, just like, I don't know. I guess it just depends on the area you're in and the situation, but yeah, people are going to kind of wake up. Oh, I wanted to touch real quick, because you sent it to me earlier. And then I kind of looked into it more because I was like working all day on trying to build this shit up. And that Greta Thunberg post where she posted
that's crazy. I don't know if anyone else has seen that, but she posted this picture. I guess it was her 18th birthday or whatever. And her sweater or whatever she was wearing said Flat Mar Society and was saying I'm out of control of my handlers at one point in the little comment section. So who knows what's going on there?
But I took it differently because I heard a lot of people, I seen a lot of people speculating she's realizing, or maybe she's like, I took it as she's talking shit and like trying to push the conspiracy propaganda of like saying like, oh, look how crazy they sound. Flat Mars. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it almost feels like, she's rebranding to seem more important and kind of be used as more of an aggressive psyop almost. Cause I felt like that's from the beginning.
I'm saying even with her like posts, I didn't take it at all. Like she's like, that was like her way of sarcasm.
Kind of trolling. That's what
I thought. That's what I thought of it. Like, it just seems like that. It's trolling. Yeah, that's a perfect way you said it, trolling. She's just like, oh, look at these crazy people. They don't believe in climate change. And I posted on it. I just said, hey, I'm all about the environment, but why aren't we cleaning the oceans? Why aren't we getting rid of plastic in favor for cannabis? You mean hemp, which is biodegradable. So don't get me started on climate change when you don't want to do stuff that we could actually do right now and fix it. Instead of these things, these goals that are going to be like the mask and the COVID shit where the goalposts are constantly forever revolving.
Yeah. And then there's like the double standard for like India and China compared to our own CO2 output in other Western countries.
Yeah. And then and that impacts the economy heavy. So, yeah, like I was seeing, I think this was the first one you sent me. It was alarming number of U.S. healthcare workers are refusing COVID-19 vaccine. It says, earlier this week, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine disclosed that about 60% of the nursing home workers in the state have so far chosen not to get vaccinated. More than half of New York City's EMS workers have shown skepticism. The Post reported last month, and now California and Texas are experiencing a high rate of healthcare workers' refusals. According to reports, 50% of frontline workers in Riverside County in the Golden State opted against the drug. That shit's crazy, man. Then you got the guy in Milwaukee that purposely put out the, like he just got pretty much exposed those 500 doses of the vaccine.
Yeah, wasn't he a pharmacist?
Yeah, he was a pharmacist, and he got fired, but I think they even arrested him, I believe.
He's getting criminal charges, too. I'm pretty sure some pretty severe ones, mm-hmm. which is wild. But, I mean, they're going to throw the book at whoever kind of, threatens that narrative and the sanctity of the vaccine or whatever you want to call it. It's interesting though, because they're trying to paint it like, oh, this is shocking. Like this many amount of people in the healthcare industry don't agree with the quote unquote science of it where it's
science.
Like, there's still a little bit of common sense there in the healthcare community, you know, the regular workers there, they know that this is an experimental vaccine. There's no guarantee it'll work. Yeah. And we're already seeing side effects and deaths across the world.
Yeah. And that's why later. I put it in, like, that's kind of why I put it in this order. Cause if a lot of doctors are refusing it, nurses, all kinds of medical staff, probably because the same reason why not because they're anti-vax or anything, but you're like, wow, this is kind of a weird one, man. This one's not like a normal vaccine. So we want to know more about it. We want transparency, which they refuse to give people. And then people go, oh, you're anti-vaxxer. So I'm anti-vaxxer to want to know everything about what they want to put in my body. I don't get that.
Yeah, they just want to label everyone anti-vaxxer, even if you're just questioning it a little bit. I mean, you could, in general, support vaccines for a multitude of things, like historically, but this vaccine in particular, you should have the right to question it because it was rushed trial period. They have no idea what the long-term effects could be. They don't know the effects on kids or pregnant mothers or even senior citizens because they didn't really have that in the field study.
And they skipped the animal testing.
Exactly.
Skipping the animal testing, and I think that's why it's causing a lot of stuff. Like, here's the one article I got from Daily News. Israeli man suffers fatal heart attack 2 hours after COVID vaccine. A 75-year-old man from Israel has died of a heart attack just 2 hours after COVID-19 the medical ministry claimed to identify man has suffered previous heart attacks, and it did not appear his death was linked to the shot. They're going to say that, of course. But then you got literally like the next day or something like that, or within that 24 hours, another guy, an 88-year-old, dies in Jerusalem from the vaccine. And they're saying, well, there's no proof of it yet. And that's what's crazy, because I'm like, okay, so now we got to find the proof of the if the vaccine killed you. But when someone dies, you're like, oh, automatically, if they had COVID, they die. What the fuck? Yeah. Like that?
And I think there's been 4 deaths and 200-something injuries in Israel alone. They're rolling it out the fastest, it seems, out of any of the countries. And this is just the first round of the dose. They're talking about the second one's going to be potentially more dangerous. So it's going to be a crazy first part of the year. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and then you got Fauci. There's some articles of him talking about, like, maybe everything's on the table, even mandatory vaccines. And you could see him running. He's running TV again, trying to hype people up. And it's just, to me, it's just pure propaganda. Like, it's theater to me. Like, but a lot of people eat it up. A lot of people trust Fauci. A lot of people think he has what's best for America. But they don't question his constant hypocrite. Double statements. You know, he always, like, he's an oxymoron. He says one thing and then the other, like, every time.
Depends on what news agency what news company he's appearing on at the time. You know, he kind of tailors the message to kind of almost parrot what they've been saying the previous couple of days, you know. He doesn't really come out ahead of the curve. He's always kind of following the news narrative himself. Like, he's supposed to be taking the lead on this. He's supposed to be the scientific mind of the doctor in charge, but he's honestly been following what the media is saying more than, you know, actually leading the charge himself.
Yeah, and you're starting to see more people are being like, wow, you're right about this and that, because they're talking a lot more openly about the common pass. They're talking more openly about not being able to do things if you haven't been vaccinated. And then, people are already making that argument, like, well, you had to get vaccinated for this, so if you want to do this. And I'm like, man, it's kind of different, man, because they're trying to change a lot of rules that are, like, religious exemptions. And you know what I mean? Like, they already had the Catholic Church came out, and they were like, oh, we're good with the vaccine. So that was trying to make it clear for anybody that's, like, Catholics can't be like, oh, man, can't, man. Religious reasons.
They're trying to, make any sort of religious exemption argument null and void. But, and you're seeing it too in another way, in that DC court, or the DC legislative body, they're saying they can test or they can vaccinate children as young as 11 without parents' consent.
Because they're
talking about that last show.
Yeah. And they can get their own, the kids can give consent. That's like where they're saying, like, I'm like, what? Then can they also drink and everything too? Because might as well, like, you know what I mean? Like, let them make their own decisions. Might as well start working too. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, and the scary thing about that is they're saying that they can hide the fact that the kid said they'd take the vaccine. They can hide that fact from the parent. So if the kid has a reaction, how is the parent supposed to know what is actually going on with the kid?
They're also saying that a lot of the people that are coming back with like side effects and like swollen stuff is people that have like those injections, like lip injections, like ass, tits, all that. Like all those injections are getting people so like they're getting like super swollen. Like for some reason, damn, whatever's in the vaccine, the proteins or whatever, it's like programming to make the body attack those things because it must be attacking every foreign. Like I don't really know. You know what I mean? It's pretty interesting to see those reports coming out.
I haven't heard that, but that's very interesting.
And then if you want to read this one, man, that other one you sent, like the San Diego, the ABC News San Diego.
Yep. ER nurse tests positive for COVID-19 days after first dose of vaccine. Reminder, protection not instant. Health experts are weighing in after local nurse tested positive for COVID-19 more than a week after receiving his first of two doses of the Pfizer vaccine. You hear health practitioners being very optimistic about it being the end, the beginning of the end, but it's going to be a slow roll, weeks to months as we roll out the vaccine. He adds, this case is a good reminder of why masks, hand washing, and other COVID protocols are important even after receiving the vaccine. Well, I mean, they're already kind of making excuses as to why you need to, like, go along with the mask and the social distancing and the lockdowns even after the vaccines are rolled out, because the vaccines aren't going to work.
Yeah. Or the not how they intended.
Down. Even if it did work, they wouldn't let go of the power they have from the lockdowns.
Oh, for sure. Because that's what the whole point is. That's what I keep telling people. I'm like, when has government ever relinquished power? Like, if they take something away, when do they give it back? They never do. Because that's the object. They're like, well, it's like playing chess, man. You're like, I got you checkmate. You're not going to go another way. You already got them in checkmate. You got them boxing going into the quarter so you could get checkmate. That's like the end game.
They pretty much knew they could seal the deal after we went along with the two weeks to slow the spread. And they just kind of just give us short windows as to not alarm people and kind of get people up in arms about indefinite lockdown. But we're getting there.
It's like, yeah, like you said, they're like, we've always said, like, they're conditioning us to get used to this. Like, oh, this is, like, here's something that I'm trying to pull up right now. Let's see it. This is something that I...
spread of COVID-19 depends on layering little report. Those imperfect protections.
So, like we were saying before, they got all these people on
each intervention TikTok.
So, they have this new theory on TikTok where this Dr. Cat or whatever her name is, and she's talking about the Swiss cheese effect. She's like, you got to have all of them. I have no idea what she means by the Swiss cheese effect because Swiss cheese has holes in it. You know what I mean? But she's saying, like, you have to combine face mask with, and she shows it, and she, like, kind of, like, covers the holes with it. And she's like, the face mask and then the hand washing and the social distancing and the, like, you know what I mean, the lockdowns. And I'll get the video up. I couldn't find it beforehand, but... it's very interesting, the propaganda that they're feeding kids now. And so, like, now someone's going to be like, yeah, see, so, like, you'll be kind of protected. But it's like, how would you kind of be protected if you already have COVID on your hands, right? And you had the mask, but then you're going to touch it. It's like, it's just such an oxymoron. I don't understand how people don't see through it more.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of boggles the mind a little bit. People are very, I guess, indoctrinated at this point. And it was rolled out very rapidly and across the board, every country. And there's quite a few people that have woken up to it and are kind of waking up to it still, but it's not like a significant of enough people to really, I don't know, push the narrative back yet.
I think there's a lot of people that are skeptical, and there's a lot of minds that are like against it, but there's not enough of, like, a lot of those people still that are skeptical of all that are just like, man, I got to do what I got to do. That's kind of the thing.
Everyone's just kind of kowtowed into just going along with it, even though they don't agree with it.
Exactly, just to get, because they keep thinking, like, if I do this, then I can, you know, get past this stage to get it over with. They're just trying to get it over with. That's how they look at it. That's why I keep saying it has to get, unfortunately, it has to get worse before it could get better, because people have to be pushed to a point where they have to fight back. Like, right now, you can kind of, like, you know, you can hide in your work and not hide, but, like, you know, get lost in your work and lost in your family life. That would be better to get lost in it so you don't have to see, you know, a lot of people don't watch the news anymore. They just, like, hang out with family and friends and do things together and don't really look at what's going on. And I think people are just trying to seclude themselves, which is good for the mind, but, like, it's also bad because as things build, you know. But like I said, when it's on the front doorstep, then we'll see what happens. That's the real test, the thing that we can't predict.
Exactly. It will come along, too, when people actually have to make that choice, whether they're willing or not to take the vaccine. It's still too early to, like, you know, it's still not real yet for people. They don't have that choice in front of them yet.
Yeah, it's just on TV right now, you know, and we know that we don't even have enough.
I do know some healthcare people that have gotten it already, but it's pretty low numbers, I'd say.
And then obviously, like, it probably still depends on your body and everything, like how every person's going to obviously react differently to getting the shot, you know what I mean? I just think, like I said, I just wish there was more transparency. And then, like you know, we're talking about these deaths and these side effects, and then there's this other 32-year-old female Mexican nurse was rushed, or doctor was rushed to the ER. We have those cases, and you have the nurses fainting. You know what I mean? You have, like, all these things compiling up, and they're not being reported for a reason. Like, obviously, they don't want people to see the other side. And it's like, well, that's the point. We want to see both sides. We don't want to just rush into something, because what if it's worse than what we're, like, they keep saying, like, oh, this is, you don't know that. You're hoping for it, and you test it the best you can, but you don't know. And you're rushing it, and you're just pushing it because so much money's behind it now. And now you're stuck.
It's a massive money game at this point because, I mean, they've already pre-bought a lot of the doses or, like, pre-invested in them. They're going to get them out now.
They have at least
try to. But I think it's going to be a while before it's, like, kind of they try to make it mandatory. They're still going to try and coerce people by, you know, limiting whether they can travel in, the, like, air travel and, you know, go to sporting or concert events and stuff like that. But, you know, we'll see. It's going to be interesting for sure.
And then they got those doctors. I know everybody probably heard about that. The 32 doctors from 11 countries warning against the COVID-19 vaccine. That was a while ago. Then they put a lawsuit together. I mean, it's not probably going to go anywhere, but it's just a start of something to see, like, we need more and more, like, to build. And I think the more we spread other physicians and people in the medical field speaking out, it helps other people where they're like, all right, I'm not alone. I think that's the main thing is that people feel alone and that, like, if they speak out, they're done.
Yeah. And I think that also ties to, like, kind of people's confidence to, you know, actually refuse the mask and, like, refuse social distancing and the lockdown is because, you know, they're seeing people around them all just go along with it. It's kind of like that herd effect, really.
Yeah.
There are more and more doctors, though. I have been seeing more and more speaking out about it, which is good.
I think it has to do with the vaccine coming out. I think a lot of people are very skeptical of the vaccine because of the timeline. And all, I mean, just the whole, you know, the mRNA vaccine is just, it's kind of really scary, man, because it's reprogramming you whether you like it or not, because it really is, because that's what it's doing. It's reprogram your DNA to fight, you know what I mean? To fight these certain things off, and it's supposed to help you. And, like, we don't know what it's actually capable of doing. And if there's nanobots in there.
Yeah, there's all sorts of questions that have not been answered and probably won't be for a short while.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And you could see they're laying the propaganda thick. That's why I put up this one from Fox 2 Detroit. Kids get coronavirus at gatherings more often than school, study finds. And they talk about in the study that, you know, kids get it more at home and interact when people, and they kept emphasizing when people come over. And, like, so it's like, to me, it's more trying to say schools are right and they're willing to open the schools, but as long as you don't have anybody come to your house and you only go to the places you need to go. It's kind of like a way to keep people in check.
Yeah, well, the timing of that's interesting, too, because they want to kind of, I think, push the kids back into school so they can, you know, have that tighter grip, the indoctrination, and then potentially force the vaccine on your kids with this new legislation that's going through.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they're keep and that's why you pay attention to your local your city hall, your city council, and all that, because you want to know what's
state
going on.
State laws, too, yep. Especially.
Mm-hmm. Local and state laws, because you might be like, oh, you can't do that. Well, maybe not. Federally, it might be different, but you got to look at your state laws, because a lot of them are, and especially the new year, a lot of stuff changes. A lot of laws get slipped in.
Yeah. Jules Beth saying they want the kids in school so that they can take them. New York passed that bill, or they haven't passed the bill yet. So Bill 416 in the New York State legislation, it's going to be heard on, I think, voted on near the 6th of this month. So same day as the Electoral College ratification, funny enough.
And remember earlier in the year, Cuomo was talking about teaming up with Bill Gates, and they were going to reimagine education. So they were, that was something that is still in the pocket. And I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to force people. That's why, like, they're allowing so much crime to go unsolved. They're allowing things to get so bad so people move out, and then they can rebuild and get people in there for affordable housing and, you know, get them there. And then you have to comply, like, yeah, we'll give you this, but you got to do this, and that. And then they get you at a point where you have no choice, you know what I mean? Like, something happens where either you lose a family member, whatever it is that puts you in that situation, and they take advantage of it.
Yep.
And that's what we got to try to avoid.
Like, I heard a good example. It was like, you could be getting contactless delivery from, you know, UPS or whatever, and if they test positive that day or that day after, they could put you under as a potential contact that's you know, dangerous to the community for health reasons, because you got a package delivered. So, I mean, there's just such broad language in these bills that they're trying to get through. They've got stuff going in Canada. They've got stuff going in Australia and New Zealand. And you're starting to see it come through in different states now.
Well, speaking of Canada, I'm sure you've seen that video that was going viral over the weekend. A Canadian family was having another family over. It was a gathering of six. I guess their neighbor called the cops on them. And it ensued to a pretty, like, ugly, like, ripping them out of the house.
Yeah. And one guy didn't even have his shoes on. They're taking him outside into the snow, pinning him down in the snow. Like, it's kind of hard to tell from the camera angle because they're inside still. But it's like the Canadian COVID Stasi, as I put it on my version of that video.
Oh, yeah.
I put it up on my page, and it's nightmarish that they're going along with this. The police are supposed to serve and protect the community, not be, you know, stormtroopers for the local health offices.
Yeah, and but I would not expect...
going along with it.
I would not going along with it. I would not expect my Canuck brothers to be like that, because, like, usually, like, when you deal with, like, a Canadian cop, you're straight, man. You're good, man. Like, the Mounties and stuff, they're like, hey, how you doing? Like, they're so polite to you. But maybe they just do that.
Canadians
because
in general are hella play, man.
I just think the fear is cranked up to level 26, you know, and they're just like, everybody's just panicking. You know, they're...
Yeah, very much so.
Like, in Zero Hedge has been on fire, like, in this weekend. I wanted to put a bunch of their articles together because they got this one top official says growing body of evidence shows COVID-19 leaked from Chinese lab. The most credible theory about origin of COVID-19 is that it escaped from a Chinese laboratory, according to U.S. National Security Advisor Matthew Pottinger, who made the comment during a Zoom meeting with U.K. officials. And a lot of us kind of already knew. I think that's like some people I know, too, that's why they kind of wear masks, like I was saying before, because they kind of look at it like, man, I don't know if it's a bioweapon. Like, so there's other, like, theories out there, and I think that time and time again, Tucker talked about it when he had that one scientist on there. It's been a constant circling back around, and it keeps coming back to boom, that laboratory. When we talk about, they talk about the gain of function research in 2015, boom, to that laboratory. You know what I mean? It's just coincidence don't keep falling. You know what I mean? How many times can it be a coincidence?
And I'm pretty sure that the address for that laboratory is like 666, the street number. Oh, wow. No joke. I'm pretty sure I heard that at the beginning of all this. So it's a lot of wild stuff is connected to that, you know, including Fauci, like you said, connecting, you know, he was putting that study offshore because it was illegal here in this country. The Chinese were giving him the laboratories to do it. the gain of function research, trying to get diseases to jump species. And that's exactly what happened. And I do think it was a bioweapon for sure. Whether it was released deliberately or not is up for debate. But in my book, I think there's tangible evidence to suggest that the CCP let the virus go beyond their borders. They were banning domestic flights, but they allowed international flights that were going to the United States, to Europe. So that's enough to constitute a biological attack in my book.
Yeah, I could see that. And like, to me, I've always thought like it came from the lab. I don't know about if I thought, I've never really thought necessarily it was a biological weapon. I think more like they were doing research for biological weapons, but that was not a biological weapon. And then I just think it was an accident, like someone overworked. It's easy to make a mistake in any field. And I think that's what happened. And then, of course, the CCP is notorious for changing and trying to manipulate the situation so it doesn't look bad. So it doesn't look like it's on them. And they try to make this whole story. Just like when they had that flood. I don't know if you remember that. They had that big old flood. And then on their news, they were like showing a rainbow. Like, look at the beautiful rainbow. Like, come on, man. Like, are you kidding me? Like, a million people just got displaced. And you're trying to tell people, look at the bright side. It's all right, guys. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
Their propaganda is pretty mind-boggling, to say the least. Like, they will turn any disaster into, like, it's a good thing because, you know, the scenery is better than ever. Or it washed away. Look at this city. It looks beautiful. It has like an aerial shot. And it's like, if you actually look at the before and after, like a whole section of the city is flooded, but it's wild.
Yeah. That's why they're funny, man. Like anybody that believes in them. And again, that's why I keep saying, and you keep saying like CCP, cause I got homies that are in China and all over the world. And I just hate a lot of these governments. I haven't yet to find a government where I'm like, man, because I kind of was looking through them like, well, where could I move? Like, you know what I mean? Like, just in case. And it's very, you don't really see many options.
No, there's nowhere left to run, really. If you, and it's not like you can really travel that freely anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there was like a story, I think, this last week where, this couple in the Caribbean, some island there in Barbados, I think, they got arrested because they were supposed to be on isolation. And it's like almost all these countries are going along with it. It's pretty, probably a few countries. Like I saw one meme that was like, oh, Tanzania only had like 50 deaths today, but it's a country of 56 million and no lockdown.
Yeah. I think it's the fear, man. And I think there's a lot of things that are getting translated, not necessarily conspiratorial, but they're getting called COVID deaths because of either money or just to like, because they're like, whatever, like, because they're just trying to get through whatever they're getting through. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, put COVID death. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he had COVID, or maybe they're instructed, whatever it may be, because, like I said, it could be financial, because we know that when they did the original lockdown, the beginning, they got rid of 80% of electoral surgeries, which was a crazy thing, and they didn't think about that. Like, oh, that's like most of their 80% of the hospital's revenue. You know what I mean? They were like, wow, they need that shit, and that's why they started like, well, we're getting paid more for COVID. You know, it's $2,000 for this. He has COVID. It's $5,000. You know what I mean? It makes people, puts them into a position where they have to make that decision. It's not about being like, oh, yeah, because people go, oh, you think that they all work together or something? They know each other? I'm like, nah, you idiot. Like, it unfolds the way that it falls from the top. So, like, the top is like, man, we need money. And they're only worried about the bottom line. They don't care about who's president, any of that shit. They're just worried about their bottom line so they can keep their job. And then they push it all the way down.
Yeah. And that's why I think Big Pharma has such a massive sway with the healthcare industry, because it's still a for-profit system, whether you like it or not, or you kind of, you know, believe in the single-payer system or whatever. The profit side of it is very much a control system from Big Pharma down.
Oh, yeah. And they've gotten so huge, man, after their huge profitable drug cartel game of the OxyContin and Vicodins, man. They ran shop, man. They ran out heroin, man.
Yeah, they were literally, like, It's wild too. And if you like boil it down to it, there's a big connection to like the occupation in Afghanistan. Cause
oh yeah,
they produce so much of the, poppy that goes into making these opiates, whether it's, you know, Oxycontin or going into heroin.
Yeah. And that's what they did. They just changed their drug game, and they made it so it could be profitable for them.
And that's why we probably won't leave Afghanistan anytime soon either.
Because then other people want that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then
the Chinese want to roll in there too, for sure. Yeah. They've already kind of started digging their
And Africa and the Middle East has been a big part of, because there's so much natural resources. So China, Russia, and us are always trying to get, and you know, the UK, all these powers are trying to get their stranglehold on these resources. And that's why there's always staging coups. They're always that's why I think, like, eventually that's going to happen to us. And I feel like that's what we're in, is like, there's going to be a lot of like foreign actors in our country, because we've been doing that for so many years. It's only fitting that it's going to happen back to us. And that's what I feel like a lot of these psyops are. They're crossed over, rogue CIA, you know what I mean? Rogue intelligence, and then intelligence agencies from other countries that we've pissed off over the years, that we've done the same thing, where we've created coups and flipped their government and destroyed their country. And they're like, oh, okay, payback's a bitch, man.
Yeah, this year's been a big wake-up call, or this last year, I should say, especially with... It's actually been happening, too. The Chinese have been doing it a ton. You know, they use our open society, open markets, to kind of capture valuable assets, whether it's, you know, stock in certain Wall Street companies, or real estate, or natural resources of any kind. Like, they're in the game all over the world, and they're on the market, especially in Canada. They're buying up huge swathes of land. And this is happening in the Pacific Northwest, too, in the U.S.,
And you're speaking of stocks and stuff. So then what do you think about that whole like report that came out about Wall Street can now bet on the price of California water? Now water is.
I did not see that.
That one must have slipped through the cracks on you. Yeah. So now California water is going to be on the market.
Well, that's interesting.
Air is next.
I live in the north. So we actually export a huge portion of our water that we get naturally, like from snow and rainfall, we export all that to the south. Like we've given away our water rights already, but now it's going to be a stock commodity for speculation, I guess, because it's wild too. It's like,
bring on the droughts.
Yeah. You know, the droughts are going to be back, but they only went away for like 1 year. We've been getting a little bit of rain. We're supposed to get some more now, but that's always a big worry for us, especially because we're wine country up here. So, yep. And that takes up a ton of water.
I need
to look into that article a little bit.
Yeah, and man. I slipped. It was a Yahoo Finance. Well, it was a couple. It was originally a LA Times, maybe. But like, you know how like all of them recycle the same articles, like most of the news companies. And then like I got a little. A little report. A little. Did you see that they now, like, the EU is now has a pact with China? And Boris is, like, kissing the EU's ass as well. Like, they're finishing the Brexit deal. So, like, it's, like, crazy right now. Like, we keep forgetting about Brexit and all the shit that's going, the shenanigans with the EU, man. And now they're linking up with China.
Yeah, and it's, there's a big interest from Germany in particular, and they kind of run the show in the EU, Merkel and her bunch, because they sell so many of their automobiles to China. But that it's also a big part of their market with the UK, too. A massive part. I think almost like 60% of BMWs are sold in the UK. They really like those cars for some reason. But yeah, with Brexit going through, I haven't looked at the final deal. It's interesting though that it's finally gone through. It's, I guess, better late than never, they would say. Like 2 years on.
And it's still, like, there's still a date, though, too, that, it, like, you know what I mean? They just got the official signing. They're still, like, because they're still arguing over that fishing rights. That's the big debate right now. And that whole Ireland border thing, That's a big, huge thing, too, is that Ireland border, like, they've been, that was, like, the big, like, almost the deal breaker.
Yeah, it really was. And there was, I mean, as a lot of people would know, there was conflict there with Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. It's been peaceful for a long time now, because there was kind of a understanding there on that border. But hopefully they worked it out in the new deal. Wouldn't want to see any more conflict there.
Yeah, they don't need that anymore. They got to, like, it got to die down at some point because, but I think it's going to be more because then there's now people are like, should we stay in the EU? Like, I think that's what they're trying to hold on for. They're trying to get them to push to stay in the EU. And remember, they wanted to do that to us. Remember the North American, transit something. It was with Canada, us, and Mexico. They tried to do that with us in like the early 2000s, like after 9/11. They didn't try to do that, but they were like introducing, talking about the idea of us like kind of making an EU type of thing with Canada.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
I forgot what it was called though. They made like a coin about it and everything. They were talking about like it was like a trade agreement thing, but like kind of like pretty much like the EU. And to me, all, the EU is just like a piece of the globalists, like to the beginning of the global agenda. Like that's how it started with that. Like, well. But- Not how it started, but how, like, they actually have it in the open. Like, that's an open spectrum. You can see how they run, and that's how the global nation will run.
Yeah, it's just a push towards a one-world government, and it's been in the works for a long time. Brexit almost kind of made it look like it was leaning towards splitting up, but I don't know if that's going to happen. It would take a severe economic collapse, which, if the lockdowns keep going for long term, it's pretty possible. They get a lot. They have a lot of conflict there between Eastern Europe, like countries like Hungary and Poland. So I don't know. It's something to keep an eye on for sure. I'm pretty anti-EU at this point because they are very globalist and they have some very shady stuff that goes on with the kind of the bureaucracy that runs the governing body there. It's very much connected with the whole globalist deep state.
Oh, 100%. I think that, like, and that's what they're trying to establish here, and they were kind of getting that, going in that direction, and then I think that, and my thing is, I think they got Trump in there to be the controlled opposition to rile everybody up, because you need conflict. If people are fighting each other, they're not paying attention to the new establishment that is being built, you know what I mean? Then it's just there already, and you're like, you're too tired to fight, because you've been fighting your neighbor, and your, you know, all the people around you, that by the time you get to there, you're like, you're already too, you're tired, you know, you just comply. So that's what they're willing for. That's the game they're playing. They're like, let them destroy each other, and whoever's left over will just rule over them.
Yeah. I mean, they'll use divide and conquer tactics any way they can, whether it's, you know, media, sporting events, ethnicity. There's a lot of that going on, and probably see more of it this next year.
I say that too because I wanted to explore that a little bit, because one of my like resolutions that I've kind of started to do, if like I argue with anybody online or in person, whatever, at the end of the day, I'm gonna have, like, they can say or feel however they want, right? Their perspective of me, I don't care. But I'm gonna end the conversation being like, it doesn't matter if you believe me or you don't believe me, because we're on the same team. I got your back regardless. You do you. I'm going to do me. And, like, try to diffuse the situation and bring more, like, positive energy, because I see such negativity. Like, I was, like, going around the stores today, and, you could just tell people are miserable. And, like, I'm just joking around and, you know, getting people to laugh. And you're just like, man, we need more of this. Like, people need to stop being these drone robots of just like, yeah, okay, yeah. How much is this much? And like, you got, man, have some fun with it, man. Like, I know your job might suck, but you can make the best of it. Yeah. And I think if we start getting that, and you can change everybody's perspective like that, you know?
Yeah, you see it a lot. I think the masks kind of have something to do with it. It's kind of, you know, it's unhuman, I feel. It takes away, like, that inner, like, person-to-person connection.
Yeah.
You can't really tell what someone's facial expressions are with the mask on, whether they're happy or sad or whatever. So it's all kind of demoralizing. I think it's getting to a lot of people, you know. Right now it's kind of a low point, and it's that time of year too. People are usually kind of a little bit down, but we are missing that sense of humor, I think. But considering everything going on around us, it's easy for people to feel like, you know, the dark side of everything like that.
Well, maybe we got a little bit of a humor. Here's Mr. President-elect himself.
Also clearly and unambiguously promote mask wearing. I give former Governor Chris Christie credit. He and I have disagreed in a number of things, but I'm thankful he's now encouraging people to do the right thing and wear masks for themselves, their loved ones, and their country. I hope the President Trump will listen to him. He can do it too. It would make a huge difference for President Trump to say, wear masks. I hope the President will clearly and unambiguously urge all Americans to take the vaccine once it's available. I took it to instill public confidence in the vaccine.
Wait for it.
President-elect Harris took it, took hers today for the same reason.
President-elect Harris.
My God. That's not the first time that slip up has happened.
Oh man, it's been constant on the campaign trail. It was a big blunder happening all the time, and not just with him, with her, and like her husband said it. A couple people that announced her said it. Like,
it's funny though. He's like, obey the state, wear a mask. It's like, it's patriotic. That's not patriotic.
And here's the thing, like,
it's like if you want to be safe about it, then sure, that's your choice. But it shouldn't be like patriotic or not, because then you're saying people who don't wear masks are unpatriotic. Yes. No,
you're labeling. So. Yeah, you're trying to label people and put them in a box. But this is what I'm thinking. So you're in California, right? Is everybody not masked up everywhere you go?
Oh yeah. They very much are.
And where
even
I,
when they're driving by themselves, yes, in their car. And that's the hardest one that gets to me a little bit. I'm like,
that makes
what
me
are
laugh,
you
though.
Doing?
I love it, man. I laugh so hard every single time. Every time, man, it's still the funniest thing because I'm like, what are you? And everybody where I go is masked up, pretty much. Pretty much, man. Yeah. You're talking about like 98% and probably even more than that. So if that's the case, why do they keep saying, like, if it's a, we only need 100 days? People have been masked up for, like 3 months.
Yeah. People are going along with it. And I think a big part of it is, like, we were saying earlier, they'd rather not, like, have the trouble of, you know, if someone comes up and harasses them about it. No one wants to be on that end of, you know, one of those Karen viral videos of people being harassed for not wearing a mask, which don't work anyways.
But that's what I'm saying, like, they're saying, like, oh, if we do 100, and that's what people's debate is, if we just do it for 100 days, it will just go away. That's not true, because we've been wearing masks. And they're like, well, not everybody. Come on, man. It is a large percent. Like, and then even with those new strains, when they're talking about the new strains, both the cases, they're like, oh, well, they've never had any history of travel. Like, both of the cases have no history of travel. So they're going to make it seem like, what is it? Like, it just seems more fear porn, more propaganda to pour on to the American people and just to be like, yep, you're scared. You come to the government, man. We'll take care of you. Don't worry, man. And they never take care of anybody. They just end up, look, we got $600. I spent that shit immediately.
It's pretty easy to spend that amount of money in 1 or 2 days, if that, even sooner.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I mean, even 2000, like, that would have been helpful for sure, but the real stimulus would be opening up the economy and letting it kind of function as it would normally. But of course, that was never an option or up for debate, you know, which was kind of the most discouraging thing about the whole, you know, left-right political fight in Congress over the stimulus bills. Like, why don't we talk about opening up or changing the way we look at lockdowns? Like, they don't work, obviously. Cases still going up. And masks, there could be a compromise, a way to kind of de-escalate the situation, but that's not even up for discussion.
That's what I'm saying. There's no open debate. Like, they're debating everything else, and that's what they try to sneak in at the last second. Like, they're like, well, here's everything. Let's just see if hopefully that everybody, you know, they just hoped it went through. They were like, hopefully it just goes through. Like, they're not giving – you created the problem, man. That's the thing, is there was no problem. It was okay. You created the problem, and now we're in a position. So now you got to get us out of that position that you created, that you put us in. And now they're arguing about stuff. Like, I was like, okay, well, they can't give us two – when I was pissed at Mitch McConnell, because I'm like, listen, you're saying all this shit, like, oh, you know, we got to be conservative, can't do – We'll figure it out, man. Take that money you did, you're giving Israel or the Arabs or any of those motherfuckers and give it to us. Fix that. Open back up. Let us rebuild. Let us do what we got to do and fix things. And we're good. And leave us the fuck alone. You know what I mean? And, yeah. And start doing, because they can do these little single bills. Just, hey, pass this shit for businesses. Pass this for that. You know what I mean? Get that shit going. Get it done. And they don't. Yeah. They're arguing
well,
over
they throw
like,
it all in that one big omnibus yep. spending bill mm-hmm. just to get all this other pork in with it together. It's kind of the way Congress has been going for a while now. But you'd think if there was ever a year to just suspend all sorts of foreign aid, if it's like, unless it's like a famine event and people are starving to death, then yeah, we'll send food aid. But I mean, for 10 million for Pakistani gender studies,
which is the CIA op, man.
Billion, yeah, 1.4 billion for Ukrainian military support. Like, I guess we're hoping Ukraine is gonna start up that war again with Russia soon.
That's what I'm saying. They're just all pushing, it's all that military industrial complex of movement that keeps doing that. And they keep into the same thing over and over and over. And just, all right, let's help. Like, 175 million of that that's going to Israel is going to for ballistic missiles. And you know they're going to go use it in their conflict with Hamas and the Palestinians and all that, man. It's, we're paying.
Yeah, it's for missile defense because, yeah. You know, they shoot these, like Hamas shoots these homemade short-range missiles. And they usually are pretty inaccurate, but
man, yeah, and they were using those balloons too, like,
oh yeah, I don't know, it's, they should be responsible for their own defense in my book, but that's another discussion, I guess for another day, because I think it's like something like $5 billion or so per year.
I see. And then the two stories that I thought I left these for last, because the Putin signs law enabling sanctions on U.S. social media giants that label and restrict Russian content.
Yeah, that's an interesting one for sure. It's from Zero Hedge as well. During this holiday period, while not many in the West are watching, Russians Vladimir Putin just punched back against major U.S. social media platforms like Twitter and Facebook for prior censorship targeting Russia, including shadow banning and label Russian sources like RTS state media, while at the same time giving Western state-funded media a free pass. Putin approved the new legislation on Thursday, which essentially holds foreign social media companies to their same standards. If a company like YouTube or Twitter, for example, exercises censorship or for reasons related to nationality, language, or origin, the new bill gives Russian authorities the ability to impose punishments or restrictions. And there's actually a previous story from Poland, and they're kind of doing the same thing over U.S. social media companies censoring. They're going to issue big fees from the government to those companies. So it's good to see countries fighting back for their citizens' rights, even though we don't really do that, get that here from our politicians at all.
Yeah, at all. All of them just leave us hanging out to dry, yeah. It's just wild because, and then again, Pelosi won. She's still the speaker. Like, the leverage that
every one of the squad members voted for her.
And to me, that proves that they're not for the people. You had your chance to prove it, and you did, and that's it. Like, you're part of the system. You're careerist. You're part of the swamp. You're connected forever. Because you're not going to get out. You're not going to change it from within. You can't. It's impossible.
Yeah, that's the truth, and people have been saying that for a long time now. The system changes you; you can't change it.
Yeah, and that's 100%. I agree. And this other last one was really—it's kind of like a little bit worrisome for me because I don't know if you—I'll entangle it with that. I don't know if you see all the Seattle virtual fireworks display.
I saw some of it. I saw more of a similar one from London, though.
Oh,
they used drones, right?
Yeah, and they were using drones, and then, you know, it just brings everybody back to, you know, Project Bluebeam, and
yep,
all the alien talk we heard all year long, you know what I mean? And then they're still kind of ramping that back up, you know, like, just, they're saying that we're conspiracy theorists, and they're saying crazy shit, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I know, dude, I know. Like, I don't get what it is, like, if it's going to be a full disclosure or not. I saw somebody, I forget which representative, they slipped a part of the omnibus spending bill was to have a 180-day countdown for, like, the intelligence community and the military to do a full disclosure on UFOs. And it's just, like, they're rolling out more and more stuff, and honestly, I'm just going to say probably fake and, you know, kind of pre-programming going into, like, a Project Bluebeam type scenario.
Yeah, so it says now, from the return, what is this syndication called? Returers or something? I can't even read.
Reuters.
Reuters, I know. All right, okay. Reuters. U.S. to allow small drones to fly over people at night. And at night. So that's going to be pushing more for Bezos to be able to do, because him and UPS have been wanting to do drones forever, because that will put them way ahead in delivery. Like, that's going to start shutting down. That's what's going to really shut down trucks, not just the driverless, you know. Being able to ship fucking shit. Like, they want to be able to, you go, oh, man, I need some headphones right now. Don't worry, man. Drop it right into your house. That's how they want it to be. Because remember, they were starting to do that, and then there was the big pushback of where they're like, well, airspace and da-da-da-da. But then the problem is someone could hack those drones easily.
Oh, yeah. It's also, yeah, that's a big worry, too, for, like, I know so many people that work for, like, FedEx, UPS, stuff like that. Like, that's going to be a lot of jobs that are probably lost if this goes through, and, you know, these big package delivery services are going to lean heavily on these drones to, you know, they're going to save a real big load of money when they go through with this. Another side to it is kind of goes in with the Great Reset thing, where it's like everything, you won't own anything and everything will be like kind of rented to you. Well, you know, have a drone bring it to you. And it's going to seem like really cool and convenient, but it's just a full-on societal control technique, I guess.
And then is like a drone going to repo your shit? Like, you know what I mean? You get home and you're like, where's my fucking TV? You didn't make that payment, man.
Yeah.
Or you said the wrong thing.
You weren't using it. Someone else needed it.
Yeah. Or you said the wrong thing, because that social credit score is being pushed heavy. That's what I totally believe that the cancel culture revolution is a propaganda tool to use us to get us into that social credit score where we're constantly nitpicking each other like, hey, don't do this. They incorporated it with the gossip, so that made it even more powerful for people. So that's why the social media with the gossip and people like, oh, did you hear such and such and such and such? Like, that's like, now that's what they're going to do that, but now I actually have some authority to it. Like, all right, we're gonna make sure you know what I mean? They're going to report whatever. I don't know exactly how I don't know if they get reported on. I know if you get caught, like, the police on you or anything like that. Well, people are just going to find ways to get you in trouble. You know what I mean?
I think social media tech companies are going to have a big role in that. Whether it's you're liking something controversial or, with a dark sense of humor or sharing something that is considered a conspiracy theory, they're going to use this stuff against you for sure. And, you know, who knows? They probably could even go retroactively and go through your history, your online footprint, and find out, you know, what your social credit score should be. I feel like I'd be in the negatives at some point.
Oh, man, that's why I keep telling people, I was like, the reason I advocate against it is because I'm going to really be bad at it, man. Like, because I just talk shit. Like, people don't, like, I'm nice to people, but I like to talk shit, man. That's just, like, part of my, and some people get very offended very easily.
Yeah. It's, like, hard. It's, like, you can't tell when people are joking or being sarcastic on the internet. So some people are very sensitive out there. But you see more and more of it, too.
Yeah, but that's why I said, like, so what I'm trying to do is because there's a lot of younger liberals or, like, progressives and, you know, like, the younger millennials and then the Gen Z. And so now, like, if I get into arguments with them, I got a couple arguments with a couple of them on Twitter. And they're, you know, talking about masks. And they're like, just please, please just wear the mask. And I'm like, nah, man, it's good, man. And then at the end, I just go, look, man, it doesn't matter. We're on the same team, bro. I get that you think that I'm, like, against you, but, like, I'm not against you. Like, I'm with you, and I understand you're not going to believe me. You don't have to believe me, but watch. I'm telling you, one day you're going to come back, and you're going to be like, oh, you're right. I was like, that's all. instead of this whole bickering, like, we were bickering back and forth, and I was like, man, I could just, like, talk shit, but I was like, what am I going to accomplish? So little by little, I'm going to try to chip away at letting him know, like, look, we can get our little debate on, but we need to be, like, able to not agree and still realize we're on the same team.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. It needs to be actual public discourse and debate. And it can't just be, you know, covered by big tech censorship, big brother government. Like, they need to actually let us be adults instead of treating everyone like children. But, you know, they're not going to relinquish that power because they have it already.
Yeah, because only us, the people, can control that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, without that, like, it's up to us because we're the only ones that can fix the problem. They can't fix it because we're the ones interacting with everybody day to day. Together, like, Mitch McConnell's not going to your warehouse. Like, he doesn't even know your name. He doesn't even know my name. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
probably doesn't want to either.
Oh, I'm sure he doesn't, man. But it looks like that's going to put a wrap on it today, man. Thank you, everybody, for, you know, showing up. We're here every Sunday, Truth Report, with Sean Chris, my man Sebastian Farr, a.k.a. Seabass. And we're here 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern, every Sunday. Tune in, you know what I'm saying? Catch up on the news and chop it up. Get in the comments and, you know, send us some shit. If you got some clips or any news articles you want us to touch on, send it to our email, killthemockingbirds@gmail.com. And you can find all my all the links to our stuff in our link bio. So you know how we do it: wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up.
How many lives do we live? How many times do we die? They say we all lose 21 grams at the exact moment of our death. Everyone. And how much fits into 21 grams? How much is lost? When do we lose 21?